This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. Greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we greet you and welcome all of you wherever you are. If you're at home, in your car, listening to the radio, on a computer someplace, we just welcome you to our program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and God gave us this name 19 plus years ago for this program about raising the standard. Right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
And we're going to talk about something here today I think will be very interesting. It should be to most people. About raising the standard this time of the season that we're in. So we're going to just give the Lord the freedom to speak and say what He wants. And so
Amen.
Donna's got a couple things she might want to mention here before we start, but we're honored to be here with you. We want you to know that every week. And here we are coming up on the close of another year very soon. It's hard to believe how time goes by. And so we're honored to be here with you. And I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. So, Donna, you got some things you want to share there with us before we start?
Amen. Amen. I want to say hello and want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and
That's
Happy
right.
Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Hanukkah falls on the same time as Christmas Eve, doesn't it?
On this year, yeah.
They're both the same. And we thank the Lord that Yeshua is the light of the world. And that's who we're celebrating is Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And He is the light that lit the menorah. He is the servant candle, isn't He, Pastor
right,
King? We're going to talk about Hanukkah
yeah.
today. And we're going to talk about also the conception of Jesus. When was He really conceived? And so if we know when He was really conceived, we can figure out when He was born.
That's right.
So.
Can't have a birth without a conception, can you?
No, conception has to be first. So we're going to be in the book of Luke mm-hmm. to start with, and we were going to be sharing some things that I think you will find very interesting, amen, because we have to look at the Hebrew, and we have to look at the how things were done, how God set things up, that they were done in Israel, amen?
Mm-hmm.
So because God, you know, there was a temple in those days, and God set everything up around His plan and also around the temple, the things
That's right.
that, how He set up the tabernacle. Al started in the wilderness, didn't it? Way back
That's right.
in the temple in the wilderness. Well, before we get started too much, I just want to mention that we are going into a new year as far according to the calendar that we live by.
Mm-hmm.
We live by two calendars, actually, a prophetic calendar and a civil calendar. Well, our civil calendar would be the month of January, according to what we live here in America. You know, most people have a calendar that starts out with January as the first month of the year, even though we know that's not the way God set it up, but we need to know both calendars, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we won't know what we're doing from day to day.
That's right.
Interesting. But I want to mention, too, that so we'll have a new calendar for you guys, so you can give us a call and tell us you'd like to have a new calendar for the month of January. And it will also be the month of Tevet, amen. So, which is not the first month of the Hebrew year, but it happens to be the month that falls in the month of January. So, I want to mention that we will not be having services. We're not having services this weekend because we are in with family, and so and many
Christmas
people
falls on Sunday.
People are going away, and so we have decided to close down the church Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and but we will be back and on the beginning of the year. We'll be back on Tibet 1, which is on Friday, the 30th of December, and we will be in also on the 31st, which is a Saturday, with our afternoon teaching. It's about seeking about the courts of heaven and getting our prayers answered. Friday night will be our Shabbat, and that's at 7 p.m. Then we're going to come together on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, and we will be having a celebration in the afternoon. No morning service that day, but we'll have an afternoon celebration, Hanukkah celebration, that will start at 4 p.m. We will have a dinner and a celebration. And there's several things that we're celebrating. One is Hanukkah. It'll be near the end of Hanukkah, the last of Hanukkah. So it would probably be the last candle we'll light together on the Hanukkah menorah, which has 8 candlesticks plus one representing Yeshua, the servant candle in the middle. And so that'll be at 4 o'clock. So if you would like to come, you need to call, you need to RSVP. I'm going to give the phone number in a few minutes. So you can RSVP me by calling or by text. And that's going to be on Sunday. It'll be the first day of January. First day of January. So they're celebrating the Hanukkah, and we're celebrating Pastor Gene's birthday.
Yeah, my birthday.
So it's not a surprise, but his birthday. He's a January
New Year's baby. Yeah.
And the other thing we'll be celebrating is the church's birthday.
Yeah.
That's the church is started on the first Sunday of the month in the year. What was the year?
The church started?
Uh-huh.
When Jesus died, I guess.
No, I'm talking about Spirit of Prophecy.
Oh, you're talking about that. I'm talking about when Jesus came. Our church started on January 3rd of 1993.
Which was the first Sunday of
1993.
1993. I just want the year. 1993. Okay. First Sunday.
I was thinking about Yeshua.
So that will be how?
Starting of the church, yeah.
How many years will it be, Pastor Gene?
Be 24 years, January 3rd.
24 years, January 3rd. So we'll be celebrating three things. Pastor Gene's birthday, Hanukkah, and the beginning of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. So come and join us and celebrate with us. Amen?
In fact, that day on Hanukkah, it's the last day of Hanukkah, isn't it? We found out. That's right, the very last day.
I'm going to give the telephone number.
Okay.
The telephone number is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And also, if you're just turning this your radio on, and you want to listen to this again, and maybe you can't listen the whole time, you can go to WCNO.com. That's WCNO.com, and go to the program guide, and you can listen to this again. Go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard at 12 noon with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. And you can listen to this again, or you can listen to a whole number of teachings we have done in the past. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to mention, too, there's one Hebrew word I want to mention. It's called, the word is Olam.
Olam.
Uh-huh. Or La Olam. Mm-hmm. It means forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
In Hebrew. And it means even more that. More, because it means to the vanishing point. God is forever. God is Olam, El-Olam, to the vanishing point. God takes our sins on the cross to the vanishing point, forever away as far as the east is from the west. Doesn't the Bible say that?
Mm-hmm.
The word Olam means forever and ever. Amen. God alone is from the vanishing point, the vanishing point to the vanishing point. So either way. Just like a rainbow, right? It's all from one end to the end. God is forever and ever. And He is God's love is forever and ever. His love is Olam. And it's everlasting and everlasting. So the Lord Olam is very important because He is the King of the universe. Olam also means King of the universe. He is the ruler of all things. Amen?
That's right.
Praise God.
Are we glad? Hallelujah.
Aren't we glad?
There's no one that supersedes Him in any way, shape, or form. He's it. Hallelujah. We love Him so much.
So Yeshua was forever from the beginning. He was Olam. He was from forever, right?
He was never not there, was He?
We were even from forever. Even before we were in our mother's womb.
That's right.
You know, before Yeshua was in Mary's womb, you know, God had a plan.
He knew us before the foundation of the world.
He knew us before the foundation of the world. So we were also forever and ever in God's everlasting love. And so he had a plan to drop us on this earth in somebody's womb.
That's right.
We don't choose the mother we have or the parents. But, and also he was in Yeshua. We think about him. He was forever and ever. He was before, he was from, and then he came in present tense, right? And he went back forever and ever, and he's going to come again. And everything he does is forever and ever.
Nothing's not forever with him. It's always forever. That's right.
So, I like that word.
That's right. So here I was in the God's eyes before the foundations of the world.
You were alum.
I was alum. I was going to be one day. I'm going to be forever. But the interesting thing, one day he chose to put me on the earth on January 1st, 1940, and I was put in a womb, just like Jesus. They came and he was to be conceived by the Holy Ghost.
We were forever and ever.
And
you know,
so,
it's just God's timing. When things happen.
That's it.
And that's why it's important that we know when Yeshua was conceived. When things happen, because there has to be a beginning, a happening. You know, so there was a happening. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, and we're in Luke chapter 1.
One, and maybe part of two. Well, to understand the conception of Yeshua, we have to find out, first of all, the conception of John the Baptist. Well, we're going to find out, if we look at this, that John the Baptist was 6 months older than Yeshua, the Messiah, okay?
And he had to come first, didn't he?
And he had to come first, and so he was one that was going to come prepare the way.
The forerunner.
That's right. So let's look at this conception of John the Baptist. The verses are Luke 1, 5 through 25. I don't know if we have time to read all that, but it's interesting. But if you're interested in a little more details on this, this is an appendix I put in my book that I wrote about the pictures of the Messiah, and you know, revolving around God's appointed times. And we talked about this last week, that we know that Hanukkah is not one of God's appointed times, but something happened in history there that God never forgot. And because it was a festival of lights, well then, he chose that time for Yeshua to be conceived at that time. So we think of when Angel Gabriel came, who did he come to? To Zacharias, as he was ministering in the temple. It was during the ministration of Abijah. We can look at this. You open there, honey? We want to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 5, and we can see this. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, and of the course of Abijah, this means Abijah in the regular R, this is what the King James translation is. It's Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, he was of the eighth order, and how do we know that?
What does that mean, of the course?
Well, so let's talk about that.
Okay.
All the priests were required to come and serve a certain period of time each year in the temple. And during the high holy days and appointed times, they all had to be there. So they had two times during the year that they served otherwise also. And this was a time that Zacharias was assigned to serve in the temple at that time.
So the course means like a scheduled time.
Scheduled time, right. Now if we go to 1 Chronicles chapter 24, we can see how this was all divided here. I'm not going to read all these names, but if we look down here, it says, and the, I'll get, where am I at here? I got it right here. I went right over it. So it says, and the seventh to a man by the name of Hakoz, H-A-K-K-O-Z, and the eighth to Abijah, okay? So this is the group that Zacharias was serving in at that particular time. And if we look down at verse 9 in 1 Chronicles, but in Luke chapter 1, it says, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So he was ministering to the Lord at that particular time. So we see he was of the eighth order. Now this is interesting when you look at this. And this is according to also the Talmud. If you have a look at the Jewish Talmud, it tells you that. So the eighth week of service covers the last week of the second Hebrew month, which Donna mentions, in the month of Iyar, and the first week of the third month, which is what? The month of Sivan, which culminates what? With Pentecost, you know? This is the anchor point. This is what we got to remember. This is the main point for the discovering of the exact time of Yeshua's birth. The angel promised Zacharias, promised him, that his prayer had been answered in Luke 1:13. We can read that one, Pastor Donna.
I'll read that.
1:13.
So you don't lose track
right.
Of where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it says, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So he was praying, right?
That's right.
And he said his prayers have been heard. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, God hears our prayers.
Sure does.
We need to believe it.
That's right.
You know, Zacharias doubted.
That's right.
And so, you know.
What happened to him? He was mute for 9 months until John the Baptist was born. He couldn't speak. Isn't it incredible? Because he doubted what God was doing. So anyway, this was in Luke 1:13. And when he went home, after God spoke to him, he went home to his wife Elizabeth. She conceived. And it seems almost immediately, as it says in 1:23 and 24. Read 23 and 24 now, honey.
Okay.
In Luke 1.
And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house.
Mm-hmm.
And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Mm-hmm. Now this is the same angel.
That's right.
This is the same angel that came to see Zacharias.
Yeah. This is Gabriel.
It's going to go now and see Mary.
Mm-hmm. So if we look at this, this puts the conception then of John the Baptist very near the time of Pentecost in the 2nd week of the month of Sivan. It's the 3rd month in the Hebrew calendar. So then we look right here, and we're in Luke chapter 1 again. Donna just read this. Verse 26 says, and in the 6th month, this means the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Want to go ahead and read some more of that, honey? Go ahead. Starting in verse 28. Read some more of this.
28, okay. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be.
Salutation means his greeting, okay.
Mm-hmm, he greeted her.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.
Jesus.
Now, you know, the angel gave both of these children their names. You know, names are very important.
Sure are.
And we know Yeshua's name means salvation. It's Yahshua.
That's right.
Yahshua. In the Hebrew, it's just Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people say Yahshua, mm-hmm. but Yeshua.
So we've talked about John. We know John the Baptist was in his mother's womb, and he would have been in there 6 months before Jesus was conceived. So let's look at the conception of Yeshua now. Now we have to look at chapter 1, 26 through 55. Now we read part of this. We might read the rest of it. Let's go ahead and read the rest of this, Pastor John. I think we need to read this, then we can talk about it. Where'd you leave off at here?
Where it says Jesus.
Okay, go ahead. Now, so you're in verse 32 now.
Right, and you know that Jesus, it's all capitalized in my Bible.
That's right.
It makes me think about when Yeshua. We see the word Lord in the First Covenant, it's all capitalized, which means God.
Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
Mm-hmm. So this here would be the same. Where it says Jesus, all in capitals, or if you had a Hebrew Bible, it would say Yeshua. But it would be all in capitals, which is saying that he is God.
That's right.
God manifest in the flesh. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
32, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest.
There Amen.
And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
Whoa.
And he shall reign over the house of Jacob, Olam, forever.
There you go.
That's right. And of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Yes.
Olam again.
Mm-hmm.
No end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost. And you know, I think the King James is the only one that rarely.
That's right, it doesn't say the Holy Ghost. Yeah, right, that's right.
It says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
That's important, the Son of God, that's right.
The Son of God. Now, I'm thinking back that when we talked about...
the only begotten of the Father.
How Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah over there in John chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he walked into the temple, Solomon's temple, the porch, and he declared himself as God, the Son of God.
That's right.
And that's why the Jewish people got angry, because
sure
they
did.
Said he was blaspheming God.
Yeah.
Well, they remembered that there was somebody back a hundred some years before that that had also called himself God.
That's
and
right.
destroyed the things that were in the temple, you know, took and desecrated the temple. Well, now they're seeing him, now when they heard him say that back over there in John 10, they're thinking, well, who does he think he is? You know, he's calling himself God. But right here, the Bible tells us exactly, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
God.
And
hallelujah.
He called himself that.
That's right.
Amen.
I and my Father are one, yes. All right, we're in verse 36 now. Okay. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So she had a rhema word from the Lord, and she believed it. You know, now remember, Zacharias didn't believe, he was punished basically. He was mute for 9 months.
Well, actually, he wasn't able to make any more negative or
ungodly beliefs. That's
and,
right.
You know, we should learn from that.
That's right.
Because sometimes we need to be still and close our mouth, you know, and not speak forth things. Because, you know, when you speak forth things, you put things into action.
That's right.
And God had already made a decree, basically, telling him that your wife is going to have a child, and the child's name's going to be John. And, you know, but he doubted. So, you know, whenever there's doubt and unbelief,
God can't do much,
God can't do it, because God works on faith.
That's right.
And so what happened? He couldn't speak.
That's right. But here now, Mary, she received the word. It was a rhema word, and it was a word from God, and she believed it, okay? Now we're in verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country.
Did you say what she said, though? Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord,
right.
Be it unto me
according to thy word.
And
that's
the
right.
angel departed from her. So she received the word.
A rhema word from God.
We need to receive the word of God.
Amen. And verse 39 says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. This is John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Husha, mom, bro, bo. Hey, hallelujah. And she spake out loud. With a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Verse 43 now. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So she realized that the baby in her was also going to be her Savior. Verse 44. Lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Hallelujah. This was talking about John the Baptist. And blessed is she that believeth. Hear that? And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Hallelujah. And for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Verse 51. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. In verse 55, and he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. I'm going to go on a little bit. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Okay, I think we'll stop right there. Now, I'm reading some things out of my book I wrote here. talking about this conception. We already talked about this. That at the close of the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, we read that in Luke 1:26, the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary. Gabriel told Mary about Elizabeth, saying, she who was called barren is 6 months pregnant, in Luke 1:36. This would be the last, this is key, this would be the last of the ninth Hebrew month of Kislev. It's the last of the month. When does Hanukkah start? On Kislev 25, the end of the month. At the time of Hanukkah, there are 27 weeks between the end of Zacharias' service, the service of Abijah, and the start of Hanukkah, which is dedication, is what it means in Hebrew, which is celebrated 8 days from Kislev 25 to what? To Tevet 2. So this all covered this in quite detail, I think. Amen? Hallelujah. Now Mary accepts the word of the angel concerning the conception of Yeshua in her, and she immediately rushes from Nazareth to the home of Elizabeth and Zacharias in the Judean mountains close to Jerusalem, about 3 days' journey from Nazareth. This was in Luke 1:39 and 40. We read that already. All right. Mary was probably going there to celebrate Hanukkah. Remember, all the Jews celebrated these days, and also to help Elizabeth with her pregnancy, as well as to talk to Elizabeth about the angel's visitation to her. Boy. Huh? Upon Mary's greeting to Elizabeth, this is incredible.
Well, I think she was supposed to go and see her because of the message that was given to her.
That's right. But it says, upon Mary's greeting to Elizabeth, Elizabeth responds to Mary, calling her what? The mother of my Lord. How about that, huh? Mm-hmm. And this is in Luke 1:43. This demonstrates that Mary was already pregnant with Yeshua. Thus, Yeshua was conceived at Hanukkah, the festival of lights, for he is the light of the world. This is revealed in John 8:12. Well, he says, I am the light of the world. Amen. Now, sometimes the time of Hanukkah falls close to Christmas. This year, it's right on, isn't it, Pastor John?
What's that?
It doesn't happen very often, but it is this year. The Roman Church of the medieval times combined the pagan winter solstice in late December with the 25th of Kislev, Hanukkah, to create Christmas. It's called Christ Mass on December 25th. Supposedly, this was to celebrate Christ's birth. This is a lie. It's deception. Now, this year, it falls right on there, isn't it?
But he wasn't born then, but he was conceived
at
there.
That time at the Festival of Lights.
You must have a conception before.
That's right.
That's why you really can't separate Hanukkah from the Feast of Tabernacles, because I look at it, what I said, that olam from one end to the other.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a conception, and
right.
Then there has to go to the other, and there has to be a delivery. You know,
that's right, absolutely.
So, and so this angel, he told her that Elizabeth was pregnant and that she was in her sixth month and that she was old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he told her that.
That's right.
And so, you know, and she didn't doubt it, and she Mary immediately departed and went to Elizabeth.
That's right.
But I was thinking too about you were reading over here in
Luke 1.
About Zacharias.
That's right.
That the child was born, and then he was still mute. He still couldn't speak.
Yeah, I was going to read that over here in a moment.
When he was born, you read that. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had shown great mercy upon her. This is in verse 58.
Mm-hmm.
And they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, so that shows us when the baby is circumcised, the baby boy.
This is for John the Baptist.
They came to circumcise the child,
uh-huh.
And they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. Well, his father still is not speaking.
That's right.
And his mother answered and said, Not so.
Yeah.
Now, the angel didn't speak to her and tell her the name, but Zacharias probably wrote it down, because I'm sure maybe they were communicating by writing the words down.
Well,
we'll
see in a moment that he did write it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so after he did that after. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John.
John.
And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by the name of John.
Name. Mm-hmm.
And they made signs. What does the word John mean, Pastor Gene?
I've never looked that one up.
No, you did, because Peter, John, you did. You taught on that one.
Well, keep on. I'll tell you.
And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled, they all marveled. And because he spoke forth the word, now his tongue is going to be released. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed. See, his tongue was not loosed before. now his tongue was loosed because he's speaking the truth. Yeah. And so we need to be loosed in a lot of things too.
You know what John's name
means?
And
he spake and he praised God.
John's name means Jehovah lives.
Jehovah lives. So he was, and that's a perfect name for somebody
that's
who's
right.
a witness.
Whoa, boy.
Who's a witness who goes around, you know, as a witness to the true Messiah.
That's right.
The true Messiah. So I thought that was pretty awesome.
Well, then
the fear came on that dwelt around about them, and all these saying were noised abroad throughout all the hill country in Judea.
Yes.
And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now he's going to get filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's right. And he's going
to
prophesy.
And he's going to prophesy.
Over his son.
So now he's filled with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And he prophesies. So there are certain times, special times, that people got filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Prophets did, kings did.
And priests.
And priests did. And now we can see here Zacharias, who was a priest.
He was of the priesthood.
He got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
And he prophesied. Maybe he had never prophesied before in his life.
Now read what he said with the prophetic.
He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath visited and redeemed his people. Right there's your answer. Yeshua. Mm-hmm. He came to redeem his people.
Right.
And hath raised up a horn of salvation for
that
us.
Means strength of salvation, doesn't
in
it?
The house of his servant David.
Whoa, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to redeem his holy covenant.
No, to remember.
Oh, did I say remember?
Right.
And to remember
his holy covenant.
But he did redeem us, didn't he?
Yes, he sure did, yeah. Yeshua did, yes.
The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear.
Thank you, Lord. Here's a key verse. Yes.
And righteousness before him all the days of our life.
That's a key verse right there, boy.
And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. There we go. He was a prophet of the highest.
Mm-hmm.
For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord
to prepare
the way.
This is a fulfillment of Malachi.
So now they're knowing the time.
That's right.
We should know the time and the seasons, right?
That's right.
This is why it's important that we know about Hanukkah and that we know about the Feast of Tabernacles, and we know about, you know, because he's the light.
Mm-hmm.
77. And 77, this is, you know, I think about 77. This
That's
is
right.
Your 5777.
My birthday.
I think. Your birthday,
77
right?
77 years.
And you were born in 1940. Mm-hmm. Your birthday falls in line with a lot of prophetic things that happened with Israel. So I think, too, that perhaps that these two, Christmas and Hanukkah, come at the same time because we're in the year 5777.
That's right.
Verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation.
That's right.
Unto his people by the remission of their sins.
Thank you, Lord.
Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us.
Thank you, Lord. God sent
his son, he visited
mm-hmm.
us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Shalom.
I like verse 80, the last chapter. And this is
the
last verse of the chapter.
And waxed strong
in spirit.
And was in the
desert
till the day
of his showing unto Israel.
So he was kept hid away
until
it was time for him to come out.
That's right.
To reveal Yeshua. To reveal Yeshua.
So look at all the things that Zacharias prophesied over his son. Isn't it incredible?
Powerful.
Powerful. Amen.
He also prophesied, and that prophecy is also prophecy about Yeshua.
Sure.
About salvation coming
right.
to his people.
That's right. It's wonderful. Amen. So think about this. Yeshua here, Donna talked about, he celebrated Hanukkah over in John 10, 22 and 23. And it's this celebration that he declares that we talked about, that I and my Father are one in John 10, 30, which testifies to his divine origin and his conception, I believe. It also reinforces Hanukkah as the time of his conception. Historically, then, it is more accurate to celebrate Yeshua entering the world through conception at Hanukkah rather than to celebrate his birth at Christmas. As we shall show maybe later on, maybe next week, Christmas is not the birthday of Christ. In fact, Christmas is really an invention resulting from kind of a religious compromise with a pagan foundation and tradition handed down year after year. Christmas only has harmony with the truth, in that it falls approximately, this year it falls right on it, at the time of the year when Yeshua was conceived by the Holy Ghost. It's an incredible picture, the whole thing. Amen. So that takes care of the conception. We can prove that when that happened. And why would God choose that time? Because it was a time of what? Of lights.
Of lights.
And we've talked about this, what Judah the Maccabee and the Maccabees did when Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth came in and desecrated the temple. And they had those 3 years of the war and the battle that went on. And then they finally conquered it. And they got looking. They wanted to light the menorah because it's supposed to burn all the time. And they found what? One little jar of oil. And they lit it. And they lit the candle. And they was wondering what was going to happen with the rest of the days. This was the first day. Well, it lasted, the miracle was it lasted for 8 days until they could make more oil. And so it was called, what, the Festival of Lights. And the key thing with this, we proved this a couple weeks ago, that when Antiochus came in and began to desecrate the temple, the Maccabee and his brothers and all those that joined with him, they all went to the mountains because Antiochus came in and stopped all the appointed times. He refused for them to honor the ceremonies that God put in place, circumcising their children and all those things. And the day he did it was the first day of Tabernacles. So they ran to the mountain and fought this battle, the mountains, and they fought this battle. And it was turned out to be 3 years and 70 days. And they came back and conquered it. And so Judah the Maccabee says, well, it's in the book of Maccabees. We know it's not canon, but it's history. He said, because it was stopped at the Tabernacles, let's just go back and do the exact same things we were doing when Antiochus stopped it all. And so here it was. What is Tabernacles? It's a festival of lights. We've talked about this a lot. Remember, there's four candelabras that are put up in the court of the women during Tabernacles. How long does Tabernacles last? It's 7 days, and there's an eighth day, really. And, you know, it's a pattern of what happened at Hanukkah. Because the eighth day is called Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah. They lit those four candelabras, and they had to keep those burning during the Feast of Tabernacles. And so what did they call it? It was called the Festival of Lights. And so this is the time that Yeshua then was conceived. We talked about, you know, those number of weeks and all from the conception out to the time that Yeshua was born. And so we have a marvelous picture of it God was showing us. And so God uses all these events to reveal his Son. And he is, as it says in John 8:12, he says, I am. Jesus said this. Yeshua said, I am the light of the world. And do we believe that? Yes, we do. He is the light. And because he's the light, if we're born again, he's in us, and then we become the light also to go around and declare the glory of the Lord and to reveal Yeshua out into the world. Remember, the Lord told us not to put our light under a bushel basket and hide it. Take it off. Right. Let the light so shine that people will see. Amen?
Now, you've also said in the past, I don't know if it's in that your notes there, but from the time of a conception to the time of birth, which we have the exact number of days. Mm-hmm. If we know the exact number of days, well, some babies are born a little early, some a little
late.
That's
right. Mm-hmm.
But with the exact number that the doctor would say, this is when the baby's due date is.
That's right.
So this is what the due date would be. Mm-hmm. And so people might be saying, well, when was he born? If he wasn't born in December, when was Yeshua born? Well, we can go on and read here in chapter 2, and then you can give us the days and numbers. You can give us the figure of the numbers. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. Mm-hmm. Now, shepherds were in the field.
So it tells you it's not wintertime.
It wasn't wintertime.
It's in the
fall. And what were they doing? They were keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, now here we have the angel coming again. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, or that's hey, mm-hmm. in the Hebrew, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Mm-hmm. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
That's right.
Now you say, well, what are swaddling clothes? Well, you were talking about those four big lights that are in the during the time of Tabernacles.
Yeah.
There's four huge 75-foot high candles. They make them. And they're real tall, 75. That's about four stories.
Yeah.
Be about four or five stories.
That's right.
And these, and they're wrapped at the top in what you call swaddling clothes.
That's right.
Yeshua is the light. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes.
That's right.
We say, well, what are swaddling clothes? Well, swaddling clothes are strips of material, holy material, linen. It's not mixed. Jesus was no mixture there. He was sinless. He was perfect. He came to take away our sin, right?
That's right.
Because he was the perfect, perfect, he's God manifest.
So where do those garments come from?
So those garments come from the undergarments of the priest.
The ones that were cast off,
They
had blood all over them.
After they've used them,
yeah.
Right, and for the sacrifices, because they had blood on them.
Yeah. Yeshua shed his blood for
new
us.
Newborn babies were always wrapped in swaddling clothes, and they even salted them. You know, there were a lot of things that they did that were a picture of holiness. And so here we have Yeshua. He's saying, you're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. So when somebody's wrapped in swaddling clothes, it's a very special thing. Because they have prepared to have these swaddling clothes ahead of time. So when the baby comes, they have the holy garments, the holy priesthood garments that the priests wore to do when they were in the temple, to wrap around these babies. So they're strips, long strips of material, mm-hmm. and they bind the baby. Well, what's that binding to? To me, it's like binding them to the holy things of God, to the Word of God, to the call that's upon their life.
That's right.
You know, because those are righteous garments. We have some garments that we call righteous garments in our church, mm-hmm. that they're
white.
Mixture, and they're white. Haven't been sewn or anything. It's a picture of the linen, the holy garments. So here, this was done. He's telling them all these things. And so they relate back. So they said, wow, those four lights. And then when did Jesus come? Came to the four corners of the
world.
What's that a picture of? Not just Jerusalem, not just Judea.
He brought salvation to the entire world.
To
yeah.
where? To go into all the parts,
that's
all
right.
parts of the
parts.
World, right?
That's right.
And take the gospel. So this light is to go out. And so when those candlesticks were burning with oil, with the holy oil, which would be the olive oil, people could see them in Bethlehem. They were in Jerusalem at the temple, but they were so high, people could see those lights in Bethlehem. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we have that light in us. And you know, at Hanukkah, there was only enough oil found once they cleansed the temple.
Mm-hmm. We talked about
that. And rededicated
yeah.
the mm-hmm. temple. There was only enough oil found in one container, one flask, and what I'd like to think it was probably a clay pot. And so only enough. But you know, that was enough to light all those lights and to keep the light burning for 8 days. Well, eight's a number of new beginnings. Yeshua is enough. We have been given the Holy Ghost, which is a picture of the oil, the anointing
That's
oil.
Right.
We've been given when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we get born again and we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive that oil of the Holy Spirit. And that's enough. That's all we need. So they didn't need to find more than one flask or one container of oil. They only needed one because the center of that menorah, excuse me, there's nine candles all together on it. And the one in the middle is called, it's a little higher, it's called the
servant candle,
which Yeshua, mm-hmm. right? Yeshua is the servant.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you light that menorah, or when Jewish people light that menorah, they may not even realize what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They light the first day and then they do the second. But in the end, all candles, all the candles are burning. And you know, it goes on and on and on. And you know, that's how we are. We have the light of the world, and we go on and on and on, just like that word Olam, forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
He's the light of the world. There never had to be another Messiah come, another Yeshua come, another Christ come. There's only one. He wasn't the false Christ.
Nope.
Antiochus Epiphanes was, which was a picture of the false Christ. But he is Jesus Christ. And even also in over in Matthew, where it talks about the Lord, I think it's in Matthew chapter 1, somewhere in here. Over here, like I talked about the capital of all capital, it's mentioned all capitals twice over here in Matthew
Jesus
chapter
name,
1.
Yes.
Jesus' name is.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, chapter 1, verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away of Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away of Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. There's the whole teaching in that right there.
That's right.
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Here's the Holy Ghost mentioned again, Pastor Gene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then Joseph, her husband, she was betrothed to him. They hadn't come together as man and wife.
That's right.
Just being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, because they would have stoned somebody in those days.
Yeah, thinking she'd had an affair with somebody and she wasn't married, yeah.
She was minded to put her away privately, you know. But while he thought on these things, behold, see what happens? We need to think on things, don't we? There's that word hey again. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared. The angel of the Lord was really busy during this time.
Sure was.
Appeared unto him in a dream. Mm-hmm. Now the angel visited in a dream. One time the angel visited, actually, the angel was there and she could see the angel. And but now we got a dream. You know, Zacharias could see the angel. No wonder he was scared to death. Saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
So we have the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They work together.
Sure do.
They're one. They are echad. The Jewish people know what that word means. Echad means one. And so they are one. Jewish people have a hard time with that. They think that, you know, they say one God, but they don't understand the Godhead. And in the King James Bible, it's the only Bible that I know of which even uses the word Godhead.
Well, a couple of them have one word someplace, but most of them use the divine nature or divine being. That could be anything to me.
And that's really ungodly.
That's right.
Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. All capitals again.
Right.
Which means to me, I'm saying this is Lord. Mm-hmm. He's Lord. Mm-hmm. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Now we need to go over to Isaiah.
That's right.
Prophecy in the first covenant. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What does it mean? Which being interpreted is God with us.
That's right.
You want to go over to Isaiah?
He came to Tabernacle.
Chapter 7:14.
He came to Tabernacle with us, didn't he? Yes.
Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. He wasn't rebellion at all. He did exactly what was told. And he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Wow, I would say he was a man of God.
That's right.
And he called his name, capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S, Yeshua, Jesus, God, which is God. He called him God.
That's right. Now you talked about the prophecy. Isaiah 7:14
yes.
Says this. I'm going to back up to verse 13. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, just like it was prophesied. Amen?
Amen.
And now, like verse 15 says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Well, we know he was tempted with evil like everyone else. Remember, at 13 years old, a Jew, once they were bar mitzvahed, a man, becomes a what? A son of the commandment. And in verse 16.
They are to know the commandments.
That's
before
right.
That.
That's right.
They're to know. They're mm-hmm. trained from time they're mm-hmm. very little to know the word of God.
And
they
then,
can read.
Right. Then verse 16 says, for before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Wow. This all happened 13 years later. Interesting, huh?
Awesome.
Yeah. So another thing
we can show that proves. So you give your number of days. You didn't do that yet. From the time a child is conceived,
okay.
which was on Hanukkah,
right?
What we would call this year Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that day on, how many days do you count? 200 and
well, yeah, if you look at it, we have between 27 and 28 weeks. It's 280 days. So if we go from the first day of Hanukkah and we go around that exact time, you'll come to the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which shows the birth then. The conception was in Hanukkah. The birth came in Tabernacles. Isn't that amazing?
So they begin to light the Hanukkah lights, mm-hmm. which wasn't planned, but God orchestrated that because they stopped the Feast of Tabernacles on 1 year.
That's right. Stopped it in the middle of it.
Yeah, because Epiphany stopped it.
Yeah.
So they instigated it, started again. Yeshua was conceived on the first day of Hanukkah. The first day of lighting the lights. You go those 280 days, you said.
Right.
You'll come on any calendar. You'll come to the first day of Tabernacles.
In that area.
And on the first day, they will have 8 days of the lights.
Yeah, they celebrate every day. Festival of Lights, it's called, within Tabernacles.
Right. So 8 days. And so Yeshua being born on the first day, and then on the eighth day, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, a baby is circumcised.
That's right, a boy, yeah.
A boy. So Yeshua was circumcised on that last day. And that last day is called Simchat Torah. He is the Torah. What is the Torah? The Torah is the Word of God.
Yeah, the first five
Amen.
Books.
Amen. He is the Torah. He is the Lord God Almighty. So they circumcise a baby on the eighth day, and they call that Simchat Torah, and the meaning is rejoicing in the Torah.
That's right. And Yeshua is the Torah.
So who do we rejoice in? Yeshua. We rejoice in Yeshua.
He's the Torah.
So this December 25th, or Kislev 25th, which it is on this month, rejoice in Yeshua.
That's right.
Because he is the Torah. He is the light of the world. Amen.
And another sign we have with him being born at Tabernacles, those four candelabras in there, we talked about representing the four parts of the world. Well, mm-hmm. remember, Yeshua also came to this earth. He was conceived after 4,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth. So here we have those four candelabras referring to those first 4,000 years, and then the Messiah came on the scene in a physical body.
Awesome.
To redeem the whole world. It's incredible when you think about it. It's amazing.
And didn't Jesus tell us, he said, he says over here in Mark chapter, the last book of Mark 16, it's in verse 15, he says, go ye into all the world. This is what the picture of those lights were. And preach the gospel to every creature.
That's right.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This is what we're supposed to, we should be doing because we're his disciples. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues.
People don't believe that's going on today, do they? But it is.
They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall, this is if you're doing the work of the gospel, right?
That's right. If you're doing the work of the Lord, you'll be protected.
You're not going to tempt God and go play with snakes. No, that's not what he's saying. Or you're not going to tempt God and go drink poison or something like that. No, he's not. He's saying you doing the work of the Lord.
He's going to protect you.
You're going to have these signs and wonders. You're going to cast out demons. You're going to speak in new tongues. If you take up syrup, if you drink any deadly things, it shall not hurt you. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Not maybe. It says they shall recover. I like that.
He said this just before he went to be back with the Father.
That's right.
To return to Olam.
Olam. And he told us over in Luke chapter 24, he told the disciples, you know, they were a little confused at that time. He told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. Well, they didn't know what it was, but after they went over and obeyed God and sat there those 10 days, well, they found out as suddenly they came into that room. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. So the power came, and the power is what changed the world at that particular time as it moved out through all those people that received Yeshua. And we see it even at the conception and all how the babe leaped in Mary's womb, or in Elizabeth's womb and all that. And the Holy Ghost came on John the Baptist. And so we see some wonderful things and the power. Wasn't he a powerful man, John the Baptist?
Awesome.
He certainly was. And I'd say, he declared, he tells you in Malachi that he was going to be a messenger, that was going to be a forerunner to the Messiah coming, and he was the one that God called, John the Baptist.
You know, and over here in Matthew, we're running out of time, Pastor Gene, at the end of the book of Matthew, I like what Jesus said too to his disciples before he left. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
That's right.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now he's talking about teaching. Mm-hmm. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He does not separate them.
No, like Jesus only.
He keeps them together. No,
right.
It's not Jesus only. It's not God only.
Got to have all
like
of them.
Like the Jews believe. Some people believe Jesus only. Some people believe in spirits. Well,
yeah.
Listen, it's not that. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Observe what? The word. Whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There's your olam again.
He's going to be there forever, isn't he?
Forever and ever.
So that was a command.
Awesome.
They should go do that. It's all the names mean something. I'll challenge you with that, you listeners.
Well, we pray that you've really picked up a lot from this and come to our celebration. When is it going to be? It's going to be on January the 1st, Pastor Gene's birthday. He's going to be 77 years old. He's a prophetic person, I'll tell you that. Just think about it. You were born in 1940. All these things line up with Israel. Because now, why are you teaching these things? Because this is your call. Amen?
Amen.
So, and I've learned a lot by listening to him and picking up stuff on my own, because God wants us to know these things. And, you know, none of us are too ignorant to pick up some things and learn some things about our Jewish Messiah. Amen?
Sure.
So we're going to be celebrating Hanukkah. We're celebrating Pastor Gene's birthday and also the birth of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries on January the 1st at 3 in the afternoon. We're going to have a wonderful meal. We need you to RSVP.
Did you say 3 or did you say 4?
4, I'm four. Sorry. 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, yeah, not 3. It's
come
four.
Early, though. Come
yeah,
early.
Come early, yeah.
Come early.
Come early and help us, yeah.
Come early. Come at 3. Amen. It's terrible to walk into someplace late.
Yeah, I know
it's great to walk in early and, you know, and hear the music and maybe, you know, sing and get to talk to people. And if you're bringing something in, you know, you get things ready. You're not rushing in the door at the last minute. So come at 3 o'clock. Amen. Come at 3 o'clock and join the family. It's, we're one big family. So that's kind of, so I'll say 3 o'clock on January the 1st. It's on a Sunday. We're going to have a wonderful celebration and music and dancing and food and some word, and you're just going to be blessed. So I'm going to give the telephone number. You please RSVP, because we need to know how much food to prepare. Amen. The phone number is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007, and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Amen.
Well, this would be a great year to do that. Go to church on Christmas Day on Sunday and receive the Messiah. If you don't know him, it lines up with the Hebrew scriptures. Wow, what a day. Like we found out when we got born again, the day we got born again, it was the Day of Atonement, didn't we, Pastor Don? Years after we got saved.
But God knows. God knows his calendar.
That's right. So we're honored to be here with you. And so we run out of time. We're so honored to be here. So we tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh. We're on this program because we want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ. And so as we close, we say what, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.